set the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is your sports bros on a Thursday.
Indeed.
Coming up, Jason Quick, our Blazers insider, talks about what is wrong with your hometown team.
More importantly, have we noticed that Joe Buck has a mustache?
Yeah, it looks like he's trying a little bit there.
Yeah, I really don't know what to make of that. It's like in that Uncle Rico stage right now, but I don't think he's growing anything else. I think he's just growing a mustache.
So it's Thursday Night Football, Jags-Titans. Catch the fever.
Wow. What was it, 9-6 last time these two Titans played?
Over under that score this time.
Ooh, someone will score. Like I'll go like 14-7 in this.
Oh, ooh,
yeah,
an offensive explosion,
real high scoring affair. Someone will score.
So Quick will be by to talk some Blazers at 5:30. One Pac-12 football coach gets a big fat juicy raise. Coming up in the club. Well, we didn't get to helmet news.
No, I do want to discuss this.
And there is a TV show returning, of which you seem to be interested. So.
There's that.
Talk about that, I guess.
You sound excited.
No, I am excited. I want to know what it is. I don't know what show you're talking
about. You're bubbling over with fervor on
this. No, I just thought you were going to say more about it.
Well, I was waiting till the club.
Tease it.
Oh, and I also have, I saw an article yesterday, and we didn't get to talk about it, about... I'm trying to think the best way to put this.
My greatness?
No, I mean, we talk about your greatest every day. Changing your race. Because apparently this is, the whole Sammy Sosa thing. You know, like the bleaching of the skin. Apparently this is now going the other way. And it's becoming a trend of... Who was the gal?
Remember, it was Rachel Dolezal, right?
Yeah. This is becoming a real thing. And... I read a whole article on it, and it's fascinating that in this day and age now where we're trying to, you can identify as whatever you want. There's more and more white people that are trying to identify as black, and they're going to radical procedures to be black.
I wonder why. Does it say in there why?
Yeah, because it's become cool, that it's become hip. It's no longer cool and hip to be white. People don't want to just be another generic white person.
Wasn't it always cool and hip?
That's kind of the interesting part. They're saying that for basically the entire existence, right, of like Western civilization, the white person has just dominated everybody. But now it's no longer cool and hip to be white. So you have a whole group of people now that don't want to just be normal white people. So they're trying to go the complete other way, and they're trying to change their race. And some people are going as far as to changing their name to try to become, whether it's Asian or Latino or black. And there's like a debate of whether or not they should get blowback or whether you should be allowed to do whatever you want.
All right, we'll get to that in the club 6-7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Everybody has a growing up to do.
Yeah. Am I bugging you, Ron?
Seems pretty cool.
Number five.
Big stud five-star basketball recruit Vernon Carey has chosen where he's taking his talents, and this will shock you. He is going to play at Duke.
Ah, you know, that never happens, right? The five-star kid in 08, that happens every time.
Coach K.
Lame for them. He's only the third number three recruit in the country. He can't get number one and two. What a bum.
Yeah, give it time. They probably have one of those two guys coming.
Coach K has now landed 12 top three commits since 2007, which is 8 more than any other school. If you're wondering how many titles he has in that period, the answer is 2. Carey is the number 2 player in the country, or as Mike said, some have him 3rd. He chose Duke over North Carolina and Michigan State, and he means that Duke has now landed a top 5 prospect in each of the last 7 recruiting classes.
And yet, Duke somehow, for a lot of people, gets the benefit of the doubt that they're the ones doing it clean, right? Like, Duke somehow stays above the fray and the whole we're paying for athletes.
Well, wasn't it, for a while, like, Coach K wasn't really a one-and-done guy?
Yeah.
I mean, well, he's gotten more one-and-dones than anybody by a mile.
Yeah. But for, I think Jay Williams might have been the first one to be the to be a one-and-done guy at Duke. But
Duke,
for all the other schools that take the flack over that, Duke never gets any of that.
Justin Wilcox gets a new 5-year deal from Cal with a hefty raise. Now, he was making only about $1.5 million per year, but he's now going to average $3.25 million per year, which is 5th highest in the Pac-12.
It's a nice bump.
Several players are already setting sights on the NFL and skipping their team's bowl games. First on the list is Arizona State wide receiver N'Keal Henry. He's hired an agent, and he will skip the Fresno State game. Others sitting out, Michigan D lineman Rashawn Gary, potential top 5 pick Ed Oliver, who's a defensive lineman from Houston, a stud linebacker from NC State Jermaine Pratt, also NC State wide receiver Kelvin Harmon, and finally Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill.
Mario Cristobal did say, at least as far as he knows right now, no Duck is planning to skip the bowl game. So Herbert, Dye, all those guys. As of right now, Mitchell still planning on playing in the Red Box Bowl.
Postseason hero Nathan Eovaldi is headed back to the Red Sox pending a physical. He gets 4 years, $67.5 million. Now, Red Sox skipper Alex Cora called Eovaldi's 6-inning marathon relief performance in Game 3 of the World Series against the Dodgers one of the best outings in postseason history.
Well, didn't he come? Did he throw 100 pitches?
Yeah, I think he got over 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he ended up losing the game. Remember, he ended up giving up the home run to, was that Muncy that hit that?
I believe it was.
Yeah, I think it was Max Muncy.
That game.
But it was a great effort.
Yes, it was. So he's a hero there, so they re-sign him. Also, infielder Jonathan Scope signs a 1-year deal with the Twins for $7 million. I remember he was dealt from Baltimore to Milwaukee at the deadline last year, and nobody really likes him all that much, but Minnesota gave him $7 million, so.
Good to be a baseball player.
Yes. I mean, that's, isn't it weird when you say he got $7 million and you're like, that's nothing.
You roll your eyes at it.
What a slouch.
There's so much money in baseball, though. Really is. Number two.
Since 2000, only 5 quarterbacks have a quarterback rating over 100 in primetime games. They are Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and better than all of them with a 106.4 rating, Marcus Mariota.
He is the 100% definition of borderline, is he good or not? Like, he's inconsistent. He gets hurt a lot. At times, he looks brilliant, and then other times, just downright dreadful, and you can never put your finger on him or the Tennessee Titans.
So he leads the 6-6 Titans tonight, hosting the very strange Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 4-8. As part of the NFL's My Cause, My Cleats Week for ALS, Mariota is going to be wearing cleats designed by 2 local high school kids.
Yeah, from Vancouver, I saw.
Vancouver, yeah, they're from Kings Way. Redskins quarterback and my secret lover, Alex Smith, battling a serious infection from his leg surgery. No word on how it may affect his career long term.
They're saying this is, you know, these sorts of staph infections can be life threatening and certainly career threatening. The last one I remember is Charles Bentley, who was the All-Pro center in Cleveland, ended up having his career ended because of a staph infection after a knee surgery.
And the Jets are getting Sam Darnold back at quarterback against the Bills. And number one, your struggling Portland Trailblazers may actually get a win tonight. They host the Suns, who are 4-20.
And no Booker tonight as well. So,
yeah, Phoenix not only sucks rocks, but they're without 2 of their top players. Devin Booker has a hamstring injury. TJ Warren is out with an ankle injury. Now, that rookie, DeAndre Ayton, kid who played at Arizona, he's pretty good. He's averaging 16-10. He's kind of a fun watch. But a surprise add to the Blazers injury report, CJ McCollum will not play tonight. He is out with an ankle sprain.
And good Lord, I hope that doesn't matter against the 4-win Phoenix Suns without 2 of their best players.
Boy, they lose this. Ooh.
You're in a world of trouble.
Ooh, boy.
Because if you look at the schedule coming up, this month of December is brutal.
Ooh, boy. The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. All right, coming up next, Justin Wilcox gets a big fat raise, and we bid farewell to, what's his nuts, free throw guy.
Yeah, a super fan walks away, even though...
So sad.
I thought he retired like 2 years ago.
5:13 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Jason Quick in 10 minutes.
I just got a message from someone who
A DM. Somebody slid into your DMs.
They did, and I don't know if he wants me to say who it is, but we were talking about Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't decide whether or not Mariota.
Was it Alex Smith?
It was Alex Smith. He was laying in bed tweeting me about
dreaming
this.
Of me.
He said that Mariota is the CJ McCollum of the NFL. And I'm like, amen.
CJ McCollum.
He's good. He has good numbers. But he's kind of CJ McCollum. That's Marcus Mariota. I think that is a great analogy.
I feel like you have pooped on Mariota more than you've pooped on McCollum.
Really?
Yeah, like you... Yeah, you've been pretty hard on Mariota.
Well, that's just because we talk more NFL than the Blazers.
Well, no, I just mean like I don't see that comparison based on what you've said
Mariota
about both guys over the years.
Mariota has some bad games, but it's one of those guys that you want to put, like, I think people in Portland want to put CJ in elite class and say that he is a really, really good NBA player. Maybe he'll be an all-star, right? A building block franchise type pillar. And I think you're trying to do that with Marcus, and both have shown you signs of being that. And yet when you watch them long enough and you see the results, they always leave you with that feeling that no, you're not watching a marquee big time player.
McCollum to me is Monte Ellis. Do you remember him?
I do remember him.
That's what he is.
That guy could score.
And all it took was the Warriors to get rid of Monte Ellis to turn into the best team.
Mm. Well, interesting there.
It also took Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr.
Well, no, but what he's saying is Lillard and McCollum, you know, you're hitching your wagon to that. At first, they were hitching their wagon to Curry, Ellis.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
No, and they had to make
a
choice.
They were much better by splitting up that duo. And it's not that Monte Ellis is bad. It's just, I think seriously, that's what CJ McCollum is. Like he just scores. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And man, wants the ball.
When I saw that message, it kind of, I don't know, it resonated in my head. Cause I think both of those guys want people want to believe that those are elite guys. And I don't think either one of them is. And if that means me being harsh, I mean, you say the same thing about CJ. That you don't think he's elite. I don't think Marcus is elite.
Oh, CJ's far from elite.
And I think Marcus is far from elite. I think the thing with Marcus is that, A, here locally, people defend him because the dude was a legend. He's one of the best college football players I've ever seen. He's the nicest guy in the world. He's everything you could want. And I think it blinds people. I think people here in Oregon have a real hard time being honest about what Mariota is. And I think there's some Blazer fans that have a hard time about CJ. Some of that has changed as the years have gone on a little bit and people are tired of this.
You know, it's weird to me.
And maybe that will change about Mariota, but it's all, and then that you just come up with excuses. It's excuses. It's never their fault. It's never, it's never that CJ's game doesn't evolve. It's never that Marcus's game doesn't evolve. It's always a coaching thing. It's always too many coordinators. The team around him isn't good enough. It's never them.
Yeah, I hear that. I think with Mariota, I think the weird thing is to me that they had, who was that old coach that Tennessee just fired?
Oh, their head coach?
Yeah, who
was that? Mike
Mularkey. Yeah, Mularkey. So they turf Mularkey.
Yep.
And they bring in, I don't know, the thought was, okay, Mariota looked really good as a rookie. And it's like, man, this guy can really do something. And then he regresses because, well, Mike Mularkey. And the thought was, hey, they're going to bring in one of these Sean McVay types.
Yeah.
Really open this puppy up. See what Mariota can do. And they didn't do that. They brought in Mike Vrabel, and it's just, they're weird. They look the same.
But they went and got they got the offensive coordinator from the Rams, their quarterback guy,
LaFleur.
Yeah, but Do you see that offense being that dynamic?
When you watch their offense, it doesn't appear to be anything.
They don't look anything. They look exactly like they used to under Malarkey.
And I don't remember who the OC was under Malarkey. Yeah. But again, it's just it's never their fault. It's excuse after excuse after excuse. And people always act like I hate the guy. It's not. I love Marcus. I want him to succeed. I just think that he gets more protected in the benefit of the doubt than any other quarterback, any other young quarterback in the league. And I think you're starting to see more and more national people actually start to take a fair look. And in fact, I saw an article on Twitter just a day or two ago where they were talking about this, that, yeah, you definitely want to extend him, but you don't give him the keys to the car. You don't give him $25 million a year, and you don't tie your wagon to him for 4 and 5 years. You know, they need to be responsible with the extension and make sure that, one, he's not bloating down the roster, which is not elite, and that you're not on the hook with guaranteed money for 4 and 5 years, that it needs to be more along the Tannehill, Andy Dalton deals.
Mariota's record in 52 starts is 24-28. Well, his quarterback rating is 90.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had 1 year. Well, it was last year. He was not very good. But other than that, it's been 95 the other year, the three other seasons that he's played. It's 95 this year.
At some point,
he's interesting.
At some point, you are what your record says that you are.
Yeah. I'd like to see him with, I just like to see him, in a different system. I mean, the system matters. It's not to say that he's great and, Vrabel's holding him back. But I do feel like they have not done him any favors in Tennessee, and that's what's weird to me. It's like I thought they were like, oh, this is their guy, so we need to get rid of Malarkey to really help this guy shine, and I guess it just...
Well, but they've spent draft picks on offensive linemen. They've spent free agent money on going out and trying to get him weapons, and this is where I'm saying that the narrative with him is no one does him any favors. Well, no one did Andrew Luck any favors in his first couple years in Indy, and Andrew Luck still managed to succeed, and it wasn't just excuse after excuse after excuse.
Well, what's Andrew Luck's record, though?
Well, let's look.
He's been to the playoffs a few times.
He's been to the playoffs a handful of times. Then, obviously, his shoulder fell apart, and so he didn't really play for the better part of a year and a half. But Andrew Luck went to the playoffs, I think, his first 2 years?
Yeah, so he's 49-33, quarterback rating exactly the same as Mariota's, interestingly enough.
So let me
ask. But he's won more games.
Not even close. And so let me ask you, who's had more to work with? Because I'll make the argument that Tennessee, on the offense and defensive side of the ball, has had more to work with than Andrew Luck has in Indy.
Yeah, in terms of people around him?
Yes.
Yeah, probably Mariota. I mean, probably Mariota had more. But again, I go back to coach and scheme. And some of these guys, I mean, I don't know. You see guys like, well, go back to Alex Smith, like when he was with the Niners and everybody said he was a bust and he's got all these OCs. And then Kansas City, he gets with a real coach and a real, really good system who's really good with quarterbacks, a really good offensive guy. And all of a sudden, he looks really stinking good. I feel like Mariota can be like that.
I do too. But I don't think he's elite. You know what he is to me at his best? He's Alex Smith. Speaking of Alex Smith.
He could be like that, though. And see, yes. I think Alex Smith is a good quarterback.
Yes.
And Goff was horrible with Jeff Fisher, and Sean McVay comes in, and now look at the guy.
Yeah, it was 1 year, though, and now you're seeing what he can do.
But that's how I feel about Mariota.
I don't think he has the arm talent or anything that you're talking about with some of those elite quarterbacks. I think the best he is, and that's not a knock on him. Alex Smith, I think he can be a very good starter in this league, maybe make a Pro Bowl or two. But to me, when you've been looking at this for 4 years, that to me is not elite franchise quarterback, and I don't think it's ever going to be that. But if you say that, then it's somehow you're crapping on him, when in reality, just saying that I think his ceiling is a lot lower than maybe people had him coming out of college. And even when he came out, remember, he wasn't the number one overall pick. He wasn't a can't-miss guy. Right. There was questions about the system and whether he was NFL ready. And here we are 4 years later. And a lot of those questions are still being asked.
Would you rather have him or Winston?
Him. Not even close.
Really?
I think Jameis Winston is not a good NFL quarterback. I think Mariota can be.
Hmm. Are they going to give him a bunch of money, too?
If he wants 20 plus million, I'd go ahead and take a hard pass. I don't think he's worth that.
All right. Well, we got nothing in there that we wanted to Justin Wilcox got a big fat raise at Cal. We need to talk about that.
And he deserves it. He's done a hell of a job down there.
Yeah, 5-7, 7-5, but like, there's nobody that doesn't think he's the guy.
No, and you wonder how much of this was a little bit of a panic because they weren't paying him much at all.
No.
And
yeah, exactly.
Know, it's like, hey, I'm a hot item, and you want me to be happy. You want me to not look around. Hey, time to pony up, because he was a first year head coach. When he went down to Cal, and he was making what, $1.4 million or something like that?
Yeah, 1.5.
Yeah, which is less than what Jim Levitt was making. So you better believe after a first year like that of success, his agent was looking for a nice hefty raise.
Also, free throw guys leaving Portland. We'll get to that later. Up next is our Blazers fan insider, Jason Quick of The Athletic. What is ailing your Portland Trail Blazers? That is coming up next. Here's Mike.
I finally feel like they're using Evan Turner correctly.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer fan insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee.
All right, Jason Quick joins us on the Catlin Capital Hotline. Blazers have lost 3 in a row, but they get Phoenix tonight. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Greatness, Jason Quick.
What's up, fellas?
Are
you a little under the weather? You got the deep smoker's voice going right now.
Yeah, I've been spent the past couple of days on an airplane, and that's what happened. Next to like an 85-year-old woman who had a constant cough.
God.
Don't you know you get on that plane and you see that and you're like, you just know you're getting sick and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, like I'm seriously contemplating wearing one of those, masks, germ masks.
Dude, it's not crazy.
Quick's going to wear the SARS masks on the airplane. And then people think something's wrong with you.
Right, that's when they leave you alone.
That's right.
Steer clear. So CJ McCollum not playing tonight, ankle sprain. How long do you think he'll be out?
I don't know. I don't think it's that bad because when he hurt it, he kept playing on it. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's back Saturday against Minnesota.
Yeah, some of this is you're playing Phoenix without Booker, right?
Exactly. Without Booker and Warren. TJ Warren's your second leading scorer. He's been declared out for the game too.
So let me ask you this. So, a couple weeks ago, the Blazers are in first place, and we know they weren't as good as that. And now they look dreadful. They're not as bad as this. Is the truth somewhere in the middle, or where, I don't know, where is the real identity of this team?
It's a great question, Suk. I think once again, they're just kind of mediocre. And, you know, I think I saw a tweet by Isaac saying, you know, there's one stretch of the season where they're going to play well and get everyone's hopes up again, but ultimately we'll all probably be let down by them again. I think it's the same group, basically, and we're seeing the same things, the inconsistencies. No one's really taken that jump. We thought early on that Zach Collins was going to, go to the next level. He's seriously regressed. I mean, he's almost invisible now. Seth Curry, one of the additions, he hasn't done anything all season. He hasn't made an impact in one game. And CJ McCollum, if this team was going to get better, I thought he had to be at least in the conversation for an all-star appearance. And that's not going to happen because he has been average at best. So what you're looking at is a team that, I like to say is dog paddling. There are rough seas out there in the Western Conference. Teams are getting better. Teams are playing harder. And the Blazers are just out there dog paddling, trying to stay above water.
McCollum, I remember you were talking about him. Well, we were talking to you about the Damian Lillard feature, and I asked you, do one on McCollum because he's kind of an enigma a little bit. And you said that he thinks nobody works harder than him, and yet here he comes out of the gate, and he's no better, and as you said, looks average. I mean, where are the... If he works that hard, shouldn't he be better? Shouldn't his game be getting better?
Yeah, it should. I still think with CJ, I still think there are times when he's more concerned with how it looks rather than getting the job done. And, he wants to break someone's ankles and get it on the highlight film rather than, just making the routine play. But, we're entering a real critical juncture, I think, of CJ's career. I mean, he's getting up there, 26, I think, 27. And we haven't really seen him take that huge jump that Damian took and that other star players make. And right now, he's just a good player. And right now, you know, you talk about trading him. That contract's starting to look like a bad contract right now. I mean, you're paying him $23 million for a guy who's averaging 21 points and barely over two assists.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not really shooting that great. So, you know, I think owners have to look at that and go, boy, do I want to take that contract on for that kind of production?
Is there an element to, and I always ask this about like LaMarcus. LaMarcus was a better player than CJ still is. But with LaMarcus, sure, we always had this, all right, he's good, he's an all-star, but why isn't he great? Rasheed Wallace had some of this too. Well, could the truth just be that you're not great? You're an all-star. You're a very good player, but you're not a true superstar. With CJ, is it possible that the truth is he's just a good NBA player and it doesn't matter how hard he works? Not everyone can be a great NBA player despite a great work ethic.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think we're getting into that area where it's, okay, it's been enough time. It's time for him to show that. I mean, how long do you wait until a guy shows something? I mean, LaMarcus was, at least LaMarcus, like, you got to look back at that playoff series against Houston. If you remember those first two games at Houston,
yeah, he had something
like 46 and 42. That's superstar stuff on a superstar or on a big stage. And CJ's hasn't done anything close to that. So I think at least LaMarcus kind of elevated himself and, you know, took on a star role. And CJ just hasn't graduated to that yet. And I'm not exactly sure what's preventing him from doing that. But I know a lot of CJ's production comes from the ball being in his hands. And he needs to break a guy down. And this system is really predicated on ball movement and player movement. And, you know, CJ moves, it's well documented that he runs the most miles in the NBA, I think, for the last three seasons. But he's best when the ball's in his hands and he's able to dribble and break guys down. But that's not what this offense is set up for. So I don't know that that this is necessarily a great offense for him to thrive in. But at the same time, I don't know that there's a better system for players to flourish in.
Yeah, that's
that
interesting. Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's interesting. I think it's fair to ask the question about CJ. Is he's claiming to be this hardworking guy, but what is he working on? I mean, if he's just working on getting his 21 to 25 points per game, then that's exactly what everybody's saying, is it's got to be more than that. So if I just find it hard to believe in a league where a lot of guys really don't work that hard, that if he's this hard worker and he's working on his defense and he's working on how to be better without the ball and how to help the team win without the ball, and he's working on passing, and he's working on the things that elevate his complete game, I think we would see that, which raises a question. Maybe he's just working on being CJ and, like you say, doing the, you know, breaking some guy's ankles, which to me hurts the team. I mean, they have to have him. They don't have anybody else besides Lillard.
Yeah. And I think, again, you know, besides just kind of evaluating CJ's own individual game, you have to look at, you know, does this work for the team? Does the pairing of them work for the team? You know, ESPN the other night had the, you know, they did a big thing on Toronto. They were in Toronto all day and they televised the game, and the Raptors GM was interviewed, and, you know, he did the old cliche, what's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. And that's why he made the big change, the unpopular move of moving DeMar DeRozan, getting Kawhi Leonard, and look at where the Raptors are now. I think sometimes it's hard to make change, but you need to do it. And I think the Blazers are starting, you know, this has always been an undercurrent of this era. Can Dame and CJ work? And I've thought that this year is kind of the make or break year. They've got to make a step to prove to people that, yes, this can work on a grand scale. But right now it looks like it's not. And I think right now it's probably the best time with CJ's trade level. You know, if you wait much longer, I think, as I said earlier, teams are going to go, wow, he's just kind of average. Do we want to take on that kind of salary? So I think we're getting closer and closer to that point where you realize that this isn't going to work out.
They have never, and I'm talking about, Olshay here, he has never once even considered that publicly. In fact, he gets mad and gets defensive about it. Do you think
you're an idiot if you think that?
Yeah, like he just comes out and he'll throw out all the how many different people would take our backcourt. But do you think somewhere in the back of his mind, or do you think he's resolute in that and it does not cross his mind?
Well, and this is what I'm trying to work on today at this game, because I don't really have much interest in watching this team play the Suns.
No one does.
Why not?
I want to figure out, and it's a question that Isaac asked me, I think, last week. Who's holding the checks and balances on Neil Olshay right now? Is there anyone going, hey, this isn't working, let's get better, let's move this, let's change this? Or is it just status quo? And I want to know who he has to answer to. And so that's what I'm going to be trying to find out tonight, because I think it's getting to that point. I think people are getting a little bit antsy, but they're seeing the same product again. And I don't know how much more patience people have.
Well, and it's a tough month here. I mean, you get by Phoenix here and you look at the month of December here and you play the way you're playing right now. You could find yourself 4 or 5 games below 500 by the end of this thing.
Yeah. I mean, and in the West, that can land you in 13th place here pretty quick.
Yep.
But you know what? The NBA is a fickle thing. You can gain it and lose it in the snap of a finger.
Yep. They'll be back, man. I'm telling you, they're going to have a run and everybody's going to be like, oh my God, yes, this is amazing. And then they can get their ass kicked in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I hate this because I'm even tired of writing it, but these guys, they insist that they're okay. And they insist that the fact that, hey, no one's pointing fingers, no one's blaming people, that is going to help them pull it through. And I'm tired of hearing it. I want to see it, and I wrote this the other day that, it's admirable that how well these guys get along and how well they stick together. But eventually, this story has to evolve into something more than warm and fuzzy little anecdotes about how close they are.
Yeah,
it has to eventually become something. And the next day after I wrote that, Damian Lillard came out on the court in Dallas, and he said, man, I almost tweeted back at you. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just fight now? Are we supposed to, start pointing fingers at each other? And I was like, yeah, but you're missing the point. What does it mean? It has to translate into something. And he's like, yeah, but I don't get why you would say that. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to start fighting with each other, arguing with each other? Is that going to make you feel better? And I'm like, no, it make me feel better if I see it translating to something. And he said, trust me, we're going to be okay. So yeah. We'll see.
Interesting. Even he knows they're going to go on a run and then get their ass kicked in the playoffs. Okay. So it is Jason Quick of The Athletic. You mentioned in your last piece that I was reading through, I caught something in there about a stare down between Terry Stotts and Myers Leonard. What was that about?
Oh, man. First of all, this drives me nuts. Terry is so hard on Myers, more than any other player. But it was during the San Antonio game. I can't remember the exact time. I think it was the third quarter. And it was when Myers made a swing pass and he threw it into the stands right by Terry Stotts. He thought the ref was a player. And Stotts showed him up. He just stared at him and yelled, you need to shoot the ball. And then he yanked him out of the game. And as he walked off the court, Myers kind of stared and said something to Stotts. And assistant coach said, Myers, sit down. Don't talk to the coach like that. And Myers said, screw that. He showed me up. Not fair. And they never played again. And so the next day, Myers texted him and said, hey, I didn't appreciate what you did, but I shouldn't have said something back. And coach apologized to him and said, I shouldn't have showed you up. You're playing the best basketball of your career. And I need to appreciate that. So they cleared that up. But you can tell that tensions are mounting on this team. A couple technicals last game against Dallas, although the players insist that was more directed at the refs rather than their own situation. But I think they're very, very fortunate that they're getting Phoenix tonight.
Interesting. Why does Stotts can't stand Myers Leonard? He's never liked him.
It's been like a gone-going thing.
That's so weird.
It's his whipping boy.
Yeah.
You know, he will not treat any other player close to that. You know, Al-Farouq Aminu did the same thing in the game, later in the game, and he didn't even, you know, bat an eye or make any kind of motion. But Myers misses something or makes a turnover, and it's hands thrown up in the air, making a big production about it. And I think that's always been unfair.
It's weird, too, with Myers. I get why people, you know, he's easy to take shots at, and for a while, you know, it was kind of goofy. But the guy seems generally to be a nice guy and works his ass off. It just hasn't quite materialized on the court the way people have wanted. But he's, even when he does something well and he's having a nice game, even fans, for whatever reason, there's just something about him that I think people like to hate and make fun of.
Well, it's because he was a high draft pick, and it's because he got the big contract renewal, and he hasn't lived up to it. He hasn't given anywhere close to the production that a guy making $11 million or who was the 11th overall pick would make. But that being said, I don't think anybody, even the strongest Myers haters, cannot deny the improvement that he has made this year. He has helped this team at times, and I still think he should be playing more. I think I don't think he's a world beater by any stretch of the imagination. I still think he's flawed defensively, but he can shoot. He's shooting over 51% from the field and from 3-point range, and he's an adequate rebounder. And I just think he can help this team. And he's the best screen setter on the team. He blows people up, which helps get guys the shots, the space to shoot threes. So I think Myers has improved. Do I think he's worth $11 million? Probably not. But I think he needs to play more.
All right, so we should look for a piece at least soon on kind of how the structure is going now with Paul Allen.
I hope so. I don't know how successful I'm going to be. It's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The Blazers aren't very cooperative in matters like this.
What? Move on.
I can't believe it. Don't get, like, shot and killed. Don't have, like, something mysterious happen to you tonight, and we're like, no one knows. He quick just disappeared.
It's not breaking news, dude.
Yeah, you'll know what happened, bro.
All right. Good stuff.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Jace. Bye.
Yep, see you.
Jace.
I would love
Jace Quick,
like a GoPro cam of him trying to, like, get Blazer Brass
bro.
To talk about who's holding the GM bro accountable.
Man.
Have fun with that.
Well, that's some interesting stuff, what's going on with them.
That was the most candid, interesting interview we've had with him in a long time.
I hate to say this as a sports radio host. We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
When the home team is struggling, boy, all kinds of stuff comes out. It becomes way more interesting.
Well, because leaks and cracks,
that's
and people
right.
start speaking. And
people like him start digging around and they're talking to these guys.
Players get frustrated. When players get frustrated, players want to get it out.
When it's all hunky-dory, there's not much to talk about. Things are good.
Yeah, it's great.
Great chemistry, great coach, you know. But when things go south, man, it's interesting how many more storylines there are. And, you know, this one, I got to tell you, I think that they're going to get it together because it's just the ebbs and flows of the NBA. And they'll be fine, and they'll be somewhere in the 5, 6, 7 range.
And you've got a true superstar in the league that, when you know, has the ability to carry you.
But I also feel like, because that's just what they do, but I also feel like, and then we'll have no postseason success. I do feel like this is trending. This, I don't know, it feels a little weird in that it feels like it's Lillard may be at the end of his rope with this crap.
Getting frustrated.
And it may just implode. It may go nuclear. It does have a little feel of that too. But it's too early to tell that yet. And if that happens, like I said last week, that's something as a Blazer fan, if you're tired of this, you know, kind of middle of the road stuff, you might want to root for that.
It's possible.
Because that will.
Zion Williamson?
That will create change.
RJ Barrett? Throw a top three pick in there?
Or as he mentioned, a trade deadline deal.
Yeah.
Trading CJ McCollum, you know, you never know. Yeah. All right. Thanks to Jason Quick. He joins us every Thursday at 5:30. Make sure you tune in if you're a Blazer fan. And it is brought to you by Change Realty. It is 5:52 on The Fan.
Isaac and Zook on 1080 The Fan.
All right. I think we're ready to waltz on into the club.
I'm ready for this Thursday night football game. 7-2, baby. I told you there'd be more scoring than the last time they met.
Seven?
Yeah, there was a touchdown on that opening drive. But don't worry, Mariota threw a horrific pick right after that.
I would have bet anything it would be 3-2 at this point, not 7-2. This is an explosion of offense.
Let's slow down here with this 7-2 thing. We don't need any more points in this Thursday night football game.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I think Blazer fan right now is just sad and depressed.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I think it was that Dane Delgado guy. Is that his name? What's his name?
That is that guy's name.
That's his name.
You know that Isaac Rop, that guy's name. Is that his name?
He's the one that said...
What is Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, that's it.
Blazer fans are already dead inside, so they can't feel a thing.
They're just numb. Numb at this point.
Well, they probably are. Okay, coming up next, helmet news. White people are no longer cool, although I would argue they never were.
But people don't want to be white anymore.
I do.
Until the police show up, apparently. We got a couple of those texts.
Yeah, right.
Everyone's like, oh, no, I want to be a different race. Wait, the cops are here? No, I'm white. What are you talking about?
TV show that's returning? I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm excited to hear what it is.
And the greatest doctor's note of all time. I got a lot of things.
The Churchill note.
Churchill note.
Yes.
We should discuss this
so
as well.
So much, yes. Yeah. Okay, the club is coming up next on The Fan.